This morning's Bible reading is from Acts 1, chapter 2, verses 1 to 41. The coming of the Holy Spirit. When the day of the Pentecost came, all the believers were gathered together in one place. Suddenly, there was a noise from the sky, which sounded like a strong wind blowing, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire, which spread out and touched each person there. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to talk in other languages, as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were Jews living in Jerusalem, religious people who had come from every country in the world. When they heard this noise, a large crowd gathered. They were all excited because each one of them heard the believers speaking in his or her language. In amazement and wonder, they exclaimed, "These people who are talking like this, this are Galileans. How is it then that all of us hear them speaking in our own native languages? We are from Yet all of us hear them speaking in our own languages about the amazing things that God has done. Amazed and confused, they kept asking each other, "What does this mean?" But others made fun of the believers, saying, "These people are drunk." Then Peter stood up with the other 11 apostles and in a loud voice began to speak to the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, listen to me and let me tell you what this means. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Instead, this is what the prophet Joel spoke about. This is what I will do in the last days, God said. I will pour out my spirit on everyone. Your sons and daughters will proclaim my message. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will have dreams. Yes, even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will proclaim my message. I will perform miracles in the sky above and wonders on the earth below. There will be blood, fire, and thick smoke, and the sun will be darkened, and the moon will turn as red as blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord comes. And then whoever calls out to the Lord for help will be saved. Listen to those words, fellow Israelites. Jesus of Nazareth was a man whose divine authority was clearly proven to you by all the miracles and wonders which God performed through him. You yourselves know this, for it happened here among you. In accordance with his own plan, God had already decided that Jesus would be handed over to you, and you killed him by letting sinful men crucify him. But God raised him from death, setting him free from its power, because it was impossible that death should hold him prisoner. For David said about him, 'I saw the Lord before me at all times. He is near me, and I will not be troubled. And so I am filled with gladness, and my words are filled with joy. And I, mortal though I am, will rest assured in hope, because you will not abandon me in the world of the dead. You will not allow your faithful servant to rot in the grave. You have shown me the paths that lead to life, and your presence will fill me with joy.' My fellow Israelites, I must speak to you plainly about our famous ancestor, King David. He died and was buried, and his grave is here with us this very day. He was a prophet, and he knew what God had promised him. God had made a vow that he would make one of David's descendants a king, just as David was. David saw what God was going to do in the future, and so he spoke about the resurrection of the Messiah when he said, He was not abandoned in the world of the dead. His body did not rot in the grave. God has raised this very Jesus from death, and we all witness this fact. He has been raised to the right-hand side of God, his Father, and he has received from him the Holy Spirit, as he has promised. What you now see and hear is his gift that he has poured out on us. For it was not David who went up to heaven. Rather, he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit here on my right until I put your enemies as a footstool under your feet." All the people of Israel then are to know for sure that this Jesus, whom you crucified, is the one that God has made Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were deeply troubled and said to Peter and the other apostles, "What shall we do, brothers?" Peter said to him, "Each one of you must turn away from your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, so your sins will be forgiven, and you will receive God's gift, the Holy Spirit. For God's promise has made you and your children, and to all who are far away, all whom the Lord our God calls to himself." Peter made his appeal to them, and with many other words he urged them, saying, "Save yourself from the punishment coming on this wicked people." Many of them believed his message and were baptized, and about 3,000 people were added to the group that day. Amen.
Can people change? You can talk to me. Can people change? Do you know of people that maybe are your friends or your family, and you have seen them change into someone perhaps that you don't even recognize anymore? You know, life can do that to us sometimes. We may lose someone to death or through a divorce or whatever. And people may become so full of mourning or desperate that they change completely. It can also be the other way around, of course, that someone falls in love, perhaps, or finally gets a job after trying for years and years, or perhaps become a parent, has a child, and suddenly this person that we used to know changes into something completely different. Into someone who is happy and outgoing and vibrant. People can change. But the greatest way for people to change is through the power of the Holy Spirit. We have just read it and heard Pamela read it. It happened to the disciples at Pentecost. And they changed so much that people said, surely these were the guys from Galilee, right? And people from Galilee were not normally very educated people. And of course, we know that many of the disciples were just simple fishermen. They were not educated. They would not be great public speakers. And yet, people heard them in their own languages. I had to find 15, well, Tom had to do it for me, but 15 different people this morning to shout out certain regions where people came from. And they could hear Peter speak in his great speech in their own languages, not just Peter, all the other disciples. They were praising God and people understood what they were saying. Amazing. There is this little band of followers of Jesus who probably weren't particularly sure what would be coming next. It was only a month ago shortly after the resurrection of Jesus that they hadn't quite any idea what they were going to do now. And Peter one day says, well, you know what? I am going fishing. Not really sure what's going to happen next, so I may as well just go back to what I know. Of course, they did know the scriptures. They were Jewish. They would know the Jewish scriptures. And they would know some examples of prophets and kings who had the Spirit of God come upon them for times and for moments. So they will have had some sort of idea. And after Jesus had breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit, they had at least started to stay together in the one place where Jesus told them to be. Stay in Jerusalem until I send my Holy Spirit from the Father. They were waiting as Jesus had told them to, and they were praying. And then the Holy Spirit came and changed them completely. Does it always happen, though, that the Holy Spirit changes us into something that other people do not recognize? Well, sometimes yes. Because our lives are being transformed by God's Spirit. And we do not always know what form or what shape that will take. When we open ourselves up to God's Spirit, we do not know beforehand what will happen. We do not know beforehand where we will be called to work or to live, or what responsibility we will ask to take on. And so today, I brought an illustration to show you how it is like when the Holy Spirit changes us and transforms our life. It is a little bit as if the disciples were waiting there in that room in Jerusalem, like tight little hard kernels of popping corn. You all know them, yes? It's whatever you call it, maize or, you know, corn. And they were praying. They were praying out loud, all together. They were sharing their testimonies of the time that Jesus was still walking the earth. They were singing hymns among each other and among themselves. And they were praying out loud, not in the way that so often happens in our churches. We are a little bit reserved in good old England, and we want to stay in control most of the time. And we all pray a little bit for ourselves and in ourselves. But there, and at that time, people would read out loud, people would pray out loud. This whole kind of silent thing that we have going on, that wasn't there then. So there they were sitting, expecting and praying, but a little bit like hard popping corn. And then this is what happened. Let me show you. You have to wait a little bit. If it works. I need my assistant here, please. This is why you need to carry on praying, because it doesn't always happen in the... I think so. Who knows? Which way is it? Yeah, that's an upside. Okay. We'll see. My old illustration may go completely down the drain here, but we will see. Let's just wait. That's what the disciples were doing. They were told to wait. If something happens, we will come back to it.
This is the danger of relying on your illustration. Anyway, don't worry about it, Pamela. Who has seen popcorn makers making popcorn in the past? You have never seen it happen. Ah, that is a shame. Okay, do we know how popcorn is made? Ah, see. Well, I will just have to explain you. This is why we especially bought this beautiful machine. Anyway, the machine blows this hot air and all the hard popping corn actually pops out of their skin and becomes fluffy and tasty popcorn. This hot air, this hot wind, oh, here we go. Have a look. You hear the wind. You hear the hot air coming now, right? Let's see what happens next. I've kind of given it away already. You just have to wait a little while. Oh, this is new, isn't it? And the disciples, they heard this sound as if a mighty wind was going through the house as well, right? Well, we can hear some sound going on here. I'm not really sure it's gonna work, Pamela. Eh? Yeah. Ah, there we are. You see what happens? You can come a little bit forward if you've never seen it before. Come and have a look. Come and have a look. You see it? It's as if it's fireworks going off. Isn't that amazing? All those hard little kernels of popping corn. All those hard little kernels of popping corn, you can take some. Go and take some. Have become fluffy and nice smelling popcorn. You see that? Smells nice, huh? You can have some if you want. And looks completely different from those hard little kernels. It's the way. That is the way. How God's Spirit transforms us when we allow the Spirit to blow in our lives, to take possession of us, and to fill our hearts. We change from something quite hard and unattractive into something that is tasty for others, into something that is almost not recognizable. Something that smells good, something that is beautiful. But we do have a say in it ourselves, you know. We know probably the saying, the Holy Spirit goes where it wills. But we do have a say in it, because the Holy Spirit is also very, very gentle. It is wild. The Spirit of God is wild. But the Spirit of God is also very gentle. And if we say no, then he will go away. He will not bother us. If we say yes, something will happen. Sorry, I'm just using this microphone because I'm dancing about, yeah? And so it happened in Jerusalem. We read it in our text. There was excitement, there was joy, there was all sorts of stuff going on. There was sound going on, as if a mighty wind came through the house. There were things to see, flames on top of the disciples' heads. There were things to hear, words that some people understood and other people didn't, but they could hear someone else speak to them in their own language. The disciples were ready for the Holy Spirit. They did not know exactly what was going to happen, but they were ready. And they had given themselves to be filled by the Spirit. Their yes was big. And so they got filled big time. There is a thought that at that time, the church needed the Spirit to be wild, because it needed to grow and it needed to spread out throughout the world. And that is why God's Spirit manifested itself in that particular way. Those times are gone now, some people believe. Perhaps there is some truth in that, but I ask you, is it still the same Spirit or has God changed? Of course not. God does not change. The same power of the same Spirit is still available to us today. If we pray deep enough, it can still happen. It happens in churches all over the world, in different places, here in England and all over the world. In churches that pray deep and pray consistently. In churches that are ready to be filled. And there are often also churches that have quite a few people in them. And I ask you another question. Does the world, do people, do we, does the church still need that radical transformation by the Holy Spirit? Do we still need to be transformed from these hard kernels into something beautiful and tasty? I think, yes, we do. More so now than ever. And so my final question to you is, who and what do we want to be as a church and as individuals? Who and what do we want to be? But of course, it's not all about us, even though it is beautiful to prophesy and to speak in tongues and to dream dreams and see visions. It is not about us. Because what happened to the disciples? What happened to Peter? What was going on there? They told the people about Jesus Christ. They told the people, life is full of sin. And although that is quite an unpopular message today, it is also one of the things that every religion agrees on, that even people who have no religion agree on. There is something wrong with the world. Sin is one of the easiest things for people to agree on. There is something that is called evil in this world. And Peter told people, you know what? This is why Jesus came, to sort that out, to die on a cross, to take all that with him, and to be victorious over it. And that is why God raised him from the dead. That is why he now sits at God's right hand, praying for us, talking on our behalf to God the Father, sending out his Holy Spirit into the world over and over again, calling us back to himself, calling us to follow him into the world, calling us to keep talking about our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is scary. It's very uncomfortable to be on fire for God. It is very uncomfortable to hear God call you to be a minister or an elder, if that is not what you want to be, if you're quite happy in the life you're living. It is super scary. I am standing here and I can tell you how uncomfortable that is. And yet, it is also the highest calling that God can call us to. Not just to be a minister or to be an elder or to be a prophet, but to be a member of his family. It is the highest calling of our lives, to be a child of God. And if you hear him call, if you feel you're on fire, or if you hear this gentle whisper in your ear or in your heart, today is the day of your salvation. Listen to it. Say yes to God. And answer to him in faith. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, I've gotten carried away a little bit. Let me go back to what I actually wrote down. If our yes is small, small things will happen. If our yes is big and radical, big and radical things will still happen. God's Spirit is still the same today as it was yesterday and will be tomorrow. So, just to get you up and going, we have this little next activity. All come forward, please. And we have a little peg here. This is something we're going to use in the next song. We have a little peg here. Rosemary and I and Pamela will all help you. And there is all this tissue paper. Now, here's something that Rosemary prepared earlier. And we can wave it around in our next song. Now, there are six of these things in this pack. You can choose to just have one. You can choose to have three. Or all six. Whatever. Let's just stop for one moment in prayer and listen to God and see what he will do. Just see what you want to do with this peg. It's something between you and God. I am not going to stand here. None of us is going to stand here like, oh, there's only one in there. That must be some sign of your spiritual life. Of course not. It is only a little fun thing to do to get up and going. But there is a serious tone in all of this. Let's pray. And let's just wait for God for just a couple of moments. Holy God, we pray. And we are quiet before you for a couple of moments now. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. And we thank you that that power is still available to us to proclaim your message of good news, of salvation, bold and in words that attract people. Spirit of God, we pray that you will fill this place and that you will come now into our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So do come forward. Make a little peg stream, I think, so that when we sing our next song, we can all go wild and just celebrate Pentecost. Please, anyone who is brave, come forward. Yes.
Thank you. These are just, of course, as we said earlier, a few illustrations to keep us thinking and to keep us focused and to bring home in new ways, perhaps, of what happens when we open up to the Holy Spirit. Our lives are transformed in new and beautiful ways. Not for ourselves, but to tell people about Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. To spread the gospel and to bring people in from outside into this great family of God and of Jesus Christ.